I wonder how many of us remember that old chestnut about the two little boys who were taken to a church service, perhaps somewhat forcibly by their parents, and they went to their local church. At one point in the service, an offering was being taken up, and the two little boys looked in wonder as the offering basket came before them. They had seen others dip their hands into the offering basket as it came round, and so they did the same. When they left the church at the end of the service, one little boy looked at the other, looked at his brother and said, "I got half a crown. How much did you get?" These two children had not been told what to expect when they went into the church service, and they did not know what to do when the offering basket came before them. And for those of us who have been around for a little while, we have become aware of the scripture that tells us, "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal, your God, in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal, your God, which he has given you." And I expect you all realise that comes from Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 16 and 17. Now, those of us who have been called to take part in this end-time work should have not only learned the necessity to plan for each holy day offering, but we should have taken the trouble to teach our children to do the same. We should all have taught our children to plan ahead for these offering services on these occasions. Our financial standing is not really relevant when considering, because the command is to give as we are able, according to the blessings which the Eternal our God has given us. So my purpose today is to show that we are expected to plan ahead for each anticipated occasion on which we expect an offering to be taken up on our holy day services. As I've already stated, we should be planning ahead for the offerings which we will be giving. I would like you please to turn with me to the second epistle to the church at Corinth, chapter 9, and we'll read verses 5 to 7. And here the apostle Paul is telling the brethren to prepare beforehand the gifts that are to be given. This implies that our offering is not a last minute affair. It is not a grab for a coin or a note that happens to be in our wallet or our purse at the time. We need to read what the Apostle Paul said here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and reading verses, beginning in verse 5, we read the following. "Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof you have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." Now, I've already said that we must plan ahead of time for our offering. And to some extent, this opportunity to make an offering to the God of creation shows just how much we value our calling. Paul says here that every man should give as he purposes in his heart. So at what stage do we begin to plan ahead for our holy day offering? Is it the day before? The week before? When? I know that some people put an amount in a pot each week. Then, as the holy day season approaches, they count up how much money they have in their pot, and then they divide it by the number of holy days that are in that particular season, and that is the amount that they will give. So if there's three holy days, they take a third of the pot, and for each holy day, one third of the pot goes into the offering. Now, so whatever the fraction is of their accumulated offering money that goes into the Holy Day offering basket when it comes round before them. In one sense, once we have placed the money in our offering pot, it really doesn't belong to us. It is earmarked for holy use. And we have in our offering pot money which is dedicated to the service of God. It does not matter whether our offering money is put in a tin, in a jar, or in a small bank account. If we are putting money in it each week or month, for the time that the Holy Day season, by the time the Holy Day season comes round, we will have a sum of money there ready, prepared to be given for the Holy Day offering. Additionally, having placed the money in our little pot, we are showing that this is something that we really want to do. We can see how much is available at the time of the feast offerings by simply looking in the pot and seeing what is there. Now, if we are placing a regular amount in our offering pot each week or each month, we can work out how much we will get for a year. And then we can divide that by seven and say, right, 1/7 of this goes into first offering day, 1/7 into the second, and so on. Now, if we move on to something which may be a little more basic, then that is, how much should I give? And here the prophet Micah was inspired to guide us, and this guidance is found in the book of Micah in chapter 6 and verses 6 to 8. In these verses, we find that it is what our Heavenly Father expects of us rather than what we expect of ourselves. He does not expect us to give more than we are able to realistically afford. In some ways, one could say that the amount of our offering is not the main consideration. And here in Micah chapter 6 and beginning in verse 6, we find these words. Wherewith shall I come before the Eternal and bow myself before the High God? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves of a year old? Will the Eternal be pleased with thousands of rams, or with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, or the fruit of my body for my sin offering, for my soul? He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of you, but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. If the question is, how much should we give? The prophet Micah does give us an idea. Verses 6 and 7, which we just read, would indicate that offerings varying from, say, hundreds to multiple thousands of pounds or dollars may not be appropriate. However, verse 8 shows that it is the attitude of obedience, being just, being merciful, and above all, walking humbly with God. We may be able to afford to give a large offering at each holy day, or we may be unable to give very much at all. But whatever end of the financial spectrum we occupy, our gift is given quietly and humbly. If we are obedient to God in our monetary dealings with God and with man, we will receive blessings. Our Saviour Jesus Christ said, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, and shaken together, and running over, shall man give unto you into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be given unto you again." And that is Luke chapter 6, verse 38. In the Hebrew Scriptures, God challenges us by saying, "Prove me now." And admittedly, Micah 3 verse 10 is referring to the subject of tithing, but it is our attitude to the offering, to the financial stroke, monetary blessings with which we have been blessed, that we should be considering our offerings, and this is the important thing. We'll now turn to the book of Luke and chapter 21 and read verses 1 to 4. We see both ends of the financial spectrum here, illustrated by what Jesus saw. This example, although 2,000 years old, lives on even to this day. It is quite astounding to witness the shenanigans and the limits to which some people would go when their generosity is seen by others when they're giving to a charitable purpose. I mean, if you watch, I think it's Children in Need, you see these auctions, don't you? And they put some sort of auction up and you hear people phoning in, offering astronomical sums, and their names are given out on the television. You know, so-and-so has given X thousand pounds for this. And you think, rubbish. It's all done for show. But not with us. It should not be like that. And here in Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 1, we read these words. And he looked up, and he saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For they have cast in of their abundance, but and into the offering of God. But she of her penury had cast in all the living that she had. The example of this widow is perhaps in some ways a little bit extreme. It does, however, illustrate a valuable point. It showed where this woman's heart and priorities lay. It also shows that God looks on the heart, not on the amount given. The points that are of importance are, first, our attitude. Is it really our desire to give an offering? Secondly, did we prepare for this offering? And finally, if what we're about to give or to offer, would we still give it if this was all that we had? The widow Jesus saw casting into the treasury did just that. Without a fanfare, just humbly gave that which she had prepared and planned. Brethren, we have all prepared for the offering today, one way or another. So we will take up the offering in accordance with God's command, to give as we are able. 3 times in a year shall all your males appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he shall choose, in the feast of tabernacle, in the feast of unleavened bread, in the feast of weeks, and in the feast of tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Eternal empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Eternal, which he hath given you. And whilst the offering has been taken up, there will be offering music, which is, We've a City, Strong and Sure, taken from Isaiah 26 and 27, and it will be sung by Mrs. Paula Henderson.